I had a chance to see the beginning of the Gemara of Kimcha Dechiti, the Machalokas Amoraim, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, with the brachas. We saw that Yehuda, the Amora, says Hadama, he's rooted, as Rashi points out, in the Braisa on Daf Lamed Zayin, that whole Chita, Koseis Chita, whole kernels are Hadama, and Rav Yehuda assumes that even after you grind it into flour, it remains Hadama. Rav Nachman disagrees, and says once you grind it, it drops down to shahakal, rooted probably in the Mishnah and Daf Mem Beis, the novelos, fruits that got degraded by being on the tree for too long, drop from Bina Heitz to shahakal. On the Braisa Lama Zayin, that Braisa Kosas Chita goes on to say, if you have bread and then you cook it, sometimes if it disintegrates, so it may drop down from Hamotzi to Mizonos. And we saw the Gemara has two rounds of attempted proof. We looked first at the first attempted proof. Gemara tried to prove that Rava tries to prove to Rav Nachman that Rav Yehuda is correct, that it retains the Hadama much as olives retain their ha'etz when you squeeze them from whole fruit into oil. And Rav Nachman had pushed back. And then yesterday we spent, 2 days ago, the last year we spent some time on the Bimavar, the Shakavataria, in the second part of the Gemara, this second attempted raya in favor of Yehuda against Rav Nachman from a diuk, from a comment of Shmuel. Shmuel made a comment that barley flour is shahakal, so maybe that implies that whereas wheat flour is a hadama, and back and forth, and Rav Nachman pointed out it's not such a good raya. You saw that at the end of that Gemara, that may or may not be making a statement about whether the Ramazik is shahakal or nothing. And we had left off with pointing out that what this sugya is dealing with, which is the question of whether a shinoi drops the bracha. So that seems to be a topic that recurs again and again and again, a good 7, 8, 9 times. Over the course of the parak, predominantly the first half of the parak, we saw that sometimes the Gemara seems to say that you do retain the bracha, and sometimes the Gemara seems to say you don't retain the bracha, and sometimes, as Nar Sugya, it's Machalukas Amram. So this raises the interest in what are the Svaras, and how would you fit all those pieces together, Lahalacha? And there must be factors. It must be that not all shinui is created alike. Some cases of shinui do change the bracha. Some cases of shinui don't change the bracha. Some cases of shinui, some machalokas amaran, whether change the bracha or not. So we want to figure out what the factors are, so we could actually apply it in, so we can understand how all the gemaras fit together, and so we could understand what the psak halacha is. And that brings us to the question of psak halacha even narrowly here. For today, let's just sort of focus narrowly on Kimcha Dechiti, but we'll hopefully already have ideas coming to the fore over the course of the Sinha the Rishon deal with the Sugya, that Bli Neder sometime next week, we can begin to use to see how this Sugya fits. Once you understand how to be Magdir, how to categorize and define our Sugya, then we can figure out how it would fit with all the other cases. On Lamed Chesa, on Lamed Tes, and so on and so forth. So the first thing that's striking the Rishonim is a little tosis, a teeny, teeny, tiny tosis. And seems very innocent. I think I've mentioned in the past, I heard from my band growing up, that sometimes you see those long, long tases and you get scared because, that's like 30, 40 lines. Those are actually usually the less scary tases in, because he's explaining everything. He's telling you to pay patient step by step. Often it's really two or three separate tases in, like two or three separate conversations just in one long paragraph. But he's explaining himself. It's sometimes the short tases in that are harder because you're not really sure what he's driving at. So here, in the opening line, just when the first two words, the Gemara formulates and names the case, Kimcha Dechiti, Satosis says something that sounds innocent. Nira, the lo ma'arve kimcha mamash. Even though the Gemara said wheat flour, we don't really mean real flour. You would have assumed we do mean real flour. Tosis says, I need to disabuse you of that notion. We're not talking about regular flour. Why? Dim Kane, Lo Shaycha Bei Bracha Debar Pi Adama. There's no hadama on wheat flour. Now, taken alone, that's a little curious. I mean, the Gemara talks about flour. The Gemara says, "Smachlokes Rehuda Nachman." So it says, no. Flour is definitely shakal. It's definitely not hadama. Mecha taste it. Ela amari the kimcha shakorin esklater. We're talking about other Rishon begin to explain just in terms of the what even the words mean. We're talking about either a coarser grind, our Gemara that has a machlokas, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, our Gemara where at least one Amora or two, Rav Yehuda and Rava, think that it is Hadama. The conversation only begins when you're dealing with unique boutique flours, either a flour that's a coarser grind, not ground into mamish powdery flour, but there's a little more of the kernel left, or if it's toasted. If it's toasted in the oven, typical flour, you go to the store, you buy a bag of flour, flour that you use to make baked goods, is raw. It wasn't cooked, it wasn't baked, it wasn't toasted, it's raw. So toasted says, but our Gemara is only talking about specialty flours. Either specialty flour that it's a coarser grind, it's chunks, it's not powder, or that it was toasted. So you look at this Tosis and he leaves you with a lot more, many more questions than answers. Number one, well, what's the difference between, the first question is, well, where did Tosis get this from? And well, why are they assuming, no, of course regular flour is shahakal. Isn't that what the Amorim are debating? And number two, well, why does he think that of course regular flour is shahakal? And number three, if of course regular flour is shahakal, so then why are these specialty flours different? That there it could be, it's conceivable that's a hadama, that's what the Amorim were discussing. If all you had with this Tosis, you'd just be left with a lot of questions. We'll come back to the, we'll put this Tosis aside for now. But I will tell you that we're going to see, as we're going to look at other issues first, but look at, we're going to, for now, pivot from the question of how to translate Kimcha Dechiti that Tosis raises in a very mysterious, enigmatic way. We'll pivot from that question number one to question number two, which is, how do we paskin? Whatever case we're talking about, how do we paskin? But we'll see as we move on that ultimately we're going to come back and appreciate this Tosis more. We're also going to see the following, just coming attractions. We're going to see as we start to dig into more Rishonim, although we're going to be starting by looking at how, the question of how you paskin, we're going to see that other Rishonim are going to quote Tosis and elaborate much more. They're going to add a few clauses and a few sentences of what's the difference between this and that, and the why, and the where this come from, is where this is going to. We're going to see, once we're done, that actually there's a Tosfos here is really the tip of the iceberg. They're just giving you one little bit, one sentence of a whole paragraph. And you should remember that, because that's often the case. It's often the case, here's a good methodological point, it's often the case that Rishonim are discussing what early Rishonim said and elaborate on what they said. So it's not only that I'll look in a Rashba and I'll find one sheet, I'll look in a Ritva, I'll find a different sheet, aha, Machlokas Rashba Ritva. You will find that, and we actually are about to see that also. But it's also often the case, you look in one Rishon, you see something, you look in another Rishon, and he's going to expand on what the first Rishon said. And he might add to it, doesn't mean it's the Machlokas. often they were dealing with the Masorah. Here there's the Tosis. We're going to see later Rishon, we're going to tell you which Balatosis said this, and why he said it, and how it fits into a large machlokas. Okay, so again, the Gemara has a machlokas Amoraim, Kimcha Dechiti, Hadama, Shahako, two attempts to prove that it's Hadama. Both attempts are rebuffed by Rav Nachman. Tosfos opens the sugya by telling us a half a story about how maybe the whole subject of the Gemara isn't regular flour, it's only specialty flour. Maybe regular flour, of course, is a shahako. Okay, so with that in mind, let's talk and see, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? If we were going to do this chronologically, which is the way you usually deal with Sergius in general and Pesach Halacha in particular, we would start from the Rif. He's at the very beginning. The Rif lived in the 1000s. He was a contemporary of Rashi. Rashi lived in France and Germany. The Rif lived in Spain and Morocco. But we're actually put the Rif aside for now, because the Rif actually says something shocking that many Rishonim are very bothered by. So let's leave the Rif on the side for now, and let's look at the Rif's great-grand Talmud, and then we'll go into the Rambam. The Rambam was a son of Rabbeinu Maimon, who was a Talmud of Rimagash, who was a Talmud of the Rif. So let's first look at the Rambam. Then we'll look at the Rashba and Ritva, and we'll take it from there. The Rambam, I believe, you have in the Mar Makamas packet. If you want to know where to find the Rambam, the second best way is to look at the Mar Makamas. Of course, the best way to know where to look at the Rambam to see where he talks about this. Amish Ben Emetz, it tells me two things. I see that Hey tells me Paragim, Maimini Paragimul Hilchas Brachas Halacha Beis. Okay, we'll look there. Smog. And a sefer that's not used nearly as often as apparently, and there's an Amish Ben Emetz that must have been used a lot because he gives you that information. Where Asay Chavav and Turin Shulchan Aruch, or Achaim, Simon Reish Ches, Sef Hey. What else do you see from Amish Ben Emetz besides where to look in the Rambam and the Turin Shulchan Aruch? Yeah. So what do you, what impression do you get? Are you passing how? Shahakal, right? Because the little letter hey is on the shahakal. So presumably that's what's being quoted, but I wouldn't paskin try it that way. That's a good first step. And let's take a look. Let's open the Rambam and talk to the Paragimel Halacha Beis. You remember I had mentioned that Rambam has brachas rishonos in two places. Parakhas is the other brachas rishonos. Paragimel is the brachas rishonos on grain, on dagon. Maybe because the Rambam sees all of Brachas Rishonos as Ke'en Daraisa of Birkas Hamazon, maybe that's why he has the grain-based Brachas here in Paragimel, and only later does he get to the other Ha'etz and regular Hadama and regular Shahakal and so forth in Parakas. Anyhow, you see, he opens up Paragimel, Chamisha Minim Heim, five official species of grain, Chitim Sa'orim, Kikusim, Shiba Oshua, Oshifon. We usually translate those as the wheat and barley, rye oats and spelt. Okay, and he tells you all these are types or subtypes of either wheat or barley. And then he gives you some definitions. Chameshas Minim Ha'elu, these five grains. Kishain Shibalim, when they're still in the stalk, even after you've cut the stalk, but the grain is still in the stalk. So this is Nikram Tvur. When it still looks like this, the kernels are still in the shaft on the stalk, that we call tevua. Bechal makom. Achar shadashinos, so here he takes you through the Melech HaShabbos. Achar shadashinos, so vizorinos, so once you thresh it to pop the kernels out, and then you toss it in the air, so the wind blows away all of the chaff, and now you just have grain kernels, this is called tevua. What's this called? A stack of kernels. What does Rambam say? It's called? What does it say? Look around. Dagon. Okay. So this is produce. And this is kernels. Dagon. Grain. Then if you take a pile of kernels of one of these species and you grind it, he doesn't at that point stop and say, we call that flour, but he assumes you know that. Well, he does. The lushin es kimcho, you grind it, and then you knead its flour into a dough. The ofinoson, you bake it, then it's nikreis pas. And you have your, I'm not going to do a good job making a pizza, but at that point it's called pas. Now he's stuck in there, there's a stage called kemach. Great. So now that we've defined our terms, he can now, he defined the terms so that he could give us halacha beis. Ha'ochel pas, paragim halacha beis l'rambam, ha'ochel pas, a fellow eats bread. Now we know what the word pas means. Chai levarech lefaneh baruch atah Hashem, etc., etc. Alf mem hei is elokeinu melech olam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That, of course, is din that comes from the Mishnah. Right? Mishnah Lamanet. You'll notice he's not going in chronological order. He's actually going in reverse chronological order. So the last, if you get to make a bracha on the last step, you would say a hamotzi. Ochal dagan shaluk kemos shahu. If you eat grain, dagan, kernels that were cooked as they are, mivarech lefanav borei priha adamo ulaacharav borei nefashos avos. This. You make a hadama. Where did Rambam get that din from? Daf, Lamed, Zayin, right? The rice of Kosh Eschita.
So this is Hamotzi and Basis of in the Mishnah Lamed. Hadam on grain kernels, that's a
Brisa, Tosefta, Davlam, Zayin. And then he sticks in between Ava Ochal, Kemach. If you eat flour, Mevarech lefanav shahakol, ulacharav, barei nefashos, rabos. You eat flour, then you make a shahakol and barei nefashos. Where do you get that from? That din of Kemach? Argamar. That's Daf Lamed Vav.
This is Daf Lamed Hey, this is Daf Lamed Zayin. And in between is Kemach, flour. That's Daf Lamed Vav.
Any paskins, shahakol, which is what we guessed from looking at the Emish Benir Mitzvah. Ram paskins like Rav Nachman. So a couple of things. The first thing just to notice, before we get into the Tochen, just to notice the organization of the Rambam. The Rambam was very, very intentional about the way he organized things. It's worth noticing that he's not going in chronological order. He's not going in reverse chronological order either. First he talks about bread, and then he talks about grain, and then in between, at the end he talks about the intermediate step, which is flour, which is shahakol. So why is that? Why he organized it this way? Yeah, what do you say, Eitan?
Because he's talking about the most straightforward cases first.
Oh, okay, good. Now we're talking about the most common cases. Usually people eat bread. The less common that people eat dagan, and the least common that people eat kemah. Fantastic. That's number one, just from most common to most rare. Yeah, what else would you say?
Elevated.
Good. In terms of order of brachas also, Hamotzi is the highest level bracha, and Hadama is the somewhat mufuretes, and the flower is the least, not a bracha mufuretes at all. And there may be some relationship, by the way, between those two things. Maybe, again, as we'll see, as the Gemara seems to say, there's a reason why you make shahakol perhaps on flour. It may have to do with the fact that it's a very odd way to consume wheat. Point number three in terms of the order, in addition to from most common scenario to least common scenario, and from most elevated bracha to least elevated bracha, is also the fact that he may have put pas first. Again, along with what I mentioned before, that the Rambam puts the brachas of dagan food. He's very clear. He's talking about grain foods in this page. It starts with the definition. Let me give you the history. Let me give you the life cycle, so to speak, of grain. Wheat from the field until it's bread on your table. All right, and now let's talk about all the dinim of brachas on grain foods. The reason, as I mentioned before, the reason why he separates it, puts it in paragimel, and only gets, and then gets to other, talks about other related dinim, atil, sadaim, and su'uda, and only later on in paragches, does he come back to the bracha and other foods, may have to do with the fact that already in parag aleph, he indicated the mitzvah d'oraisa is berakas hamazon, and everything else, all the other brachas are derabbanan derivatives of berakas hamazon. Meaning, in terms of kol tikkun rabbanan, ke'en d'oraisa tikkun, in terms of how Chazal, when they designed rabbanans, patterned them after the d'oraisa pattern. We had discussed on Daf Lamed Hey that it could be part of what emerges from the sugya is that maybe brachos are patterned at Birkas Hanenin, might be patterned after the dinam d'oraisa of mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz. The Rambam seems to say that bracha rishon is patterned after the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas Hamazon, which is why there's more of a ken d'oraisa by the dagan foods. And that's why also, that might be why he puts brachos on dagan and paragimel and everything else in paragas. Also might be why he gives you pas first, because hamotzi on pas is the closest to the d'oraisa. As a matter of fact, you'll notice as you look, just appreciate the artistry and the architecture of Halach Beis, he says pas is hamotzi. Dagan is hadama bar nefashos. Kemach is shahakol a bar nefashos. What's missing?
Tua.
Well, okay, no, tua. But there's a din that's missing, right? He said
pas is hamotzi. He didn't talk about benching. He said dagan is bar pri adama and bar nefashos, and then he said kemach is shahakol nivitoro and bar nefashos. But he didn't mention. Hey, what happened to that? Why did he mention you have to
the bracha? The answer is he already spoke about in the first two brachim. That's how he started Hilchos Brachas. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa of saying a Birkas Hamazon after bread. So the fact that it's missing is because that we already spoke. He doesn't need to repeat it. And that speaks to the fact that He's starting, we already spoke with the Daraisa of Bracha Achrona on Pas, then now let's talk about the Drabbanan of Bracha Rishona on Pas, and then we'll sort of move out, sort of radiate outwards to the Bracha Rishona and Achrona on other grain foods. Then a couple of program from now, we'll get to the Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona on non-grain foods. Yeah. Oh, good. Mizonos is coming up very soon. Mizonos is coming up, as a matter of fact, in the next halacha. The reason why he organizes it, he starts to talk about, let's say you took the grain, instead of baking it into bread, you cooked it into hot cereal or into something else, or he made a cookie. He's going to get to all those dinim, but it's already coming up in the next halacha. Maybe, again, working with the same, if his organizational scheme, the content of the dinim, he's calling what the dinim are. But if the organization of the dinim, the sequencing of the dinim, is meant to reflect where it comes from, so it's understandable they first gives you pas, because that's the daraisa, benching is on pas. So first let's take you through, getting the steps of getting to pas. There's from tvu, which hopefully no one eats, to the dagon, to the kemach, to the pas. Let's talk about those brachos. And then let's talk about sort of the alternative, an alternative universe. Instead of going from dagon to pas, you go from dagon to tavshil, and that's mezonos. And that's why he comes to that. Logically, that's already the next halacha. Halacha gimel, based on the gemara of Shasisa. Quick question.
It's specifically
very good point. Very good point. That's something that the Rabbeinu Manoach on the bottom actually makes a point that the Rambam seems to think that if you take like a handful of rolled oats from the canister, that's not koseh schita. The Rambam seems to say koseh schita is when you have like cooked wheat berries. Or
what would you say that?
So that maybe he's employing it. So shahako, that's where the, it's a good point. Very good point. Yeah. Oh, Givaldik. Good. So now let's take a look at this Rambam. Now that we just appreciated how the Rambam is structuring all these dinim, now let's get to the content. Very good. Thank you, Ali. So the content, relevant to our sugya, Yaakovish Rivadel points us to the content relevant to the sugya Lamed Zayin. The Rambam seems to assume that koseh schita means that it's cooked, not that it's raw. And Elliot points out, and the content relevant to Lamed Vav, what did he say about kemach? So what he said is that it's a shahako, and he did not differentiate as Tosfos did, here's a general comment about Rambams that may or may not indicate that he disagrees with Tosfos. Because some Achronim will tend to jump and say, oh, the Rambam didn't make the chiluk other Rishonim made, obviously he disagrees. Sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not the case. The Rambam tries to quote not only the content, but the language of the Gemaras and the other Mekoros in Chazal, Mishnayos, the Toseftas, Rishalmis, and Midrash Halacha. So the same way the Tosas thinks that the Gemaras just said Kemach, but meant a particular type of Kemach, could be the Rambam is doing the same thing. Rambam is trying to use the Lashon Gemara. I would, however, agree with you here, because he seems to be explaining what he's talking about. He says, you had produce, and then you turn it into kernels, then you turn it into flour, and then you turn it into bread. So he's really explaining what type of kamach he has in mind. So not just because he didn't differentiate. The fact that he just said kamach, the Gemara just said kamach. However you understand the Gemara, you can understand the Rambam. But here he actually had it's because of halacha aleph. Once you look at halacha aleph, so then you get the impression he's talking about regular, normal flour. He already told us what he means by kamach, which, by the way, is part of why the danger of the Emesh Menor Mitzvah, if you just dive into the one halacha, sometimes you miss the context that the Rambam was giving. It's helpful to start from the beginning of the paragraph, see where things are going. Yeah, so you're right. You're right, Ali. Here in particular, it does seem like the Rambam means regular, normal flour. And he says, shahako. Pasul like Rav Nachman. So here's our first psak. The pasul like Rav Nachman. Why? I have no idea. Nah, Rambam didn't tell us why. He usually doesn't tell us why. He usually just quotes the dinim. Sometimes you'll get an impression, either from sometimes he will add a phrase that gives a sense of why, or sometimes from context you'll get a sense of why. He says, shako. Okay, so we're not sure. If you look at the Rambam, you're not sure. You look at and that's what you expect. Again, that's the Rambam style. He's not trying, Mishnah Torah is not a sefer on Chidushim or Perushim on the Gemara. Mishnah Torah was designed to be a collection a digest, a summary of the maskanas of the Torah Shal Peh. So he's giving us his psak. Okay, so at least someone paskins like Rav Nachman. He's far from the only one. Now let's take a look at some Rishonim on the sugya. Some Rishonim in the Chedushim, where you do expect to see psak halacha, and you also expect to see explanation. So take a look at the Rashba, the beginning of the Rashba, in particular. The beginning of the Rashba in particular. Kimcha dechiti. Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pi Adama. Rav Nachman says Shahakal Nia Bedvaro. So number one, he says Pirish. In one line, he addresses Tosis. He'll come back to it later also. Kimcha deklayo shalchitim. Hashar kamachim lo she'eno barachila. So he already quoted Tosis very briefly and gave us a little bit of hesber. Ah, the issue with regular flour is no one eats regular flour. So of course it's not a hadama. That's what Tosis meant. Okay. But if it's toasted, if it's ground toasted flour, so that sounds a little more like granola or something, the sort of thing that someone might eat, might not be the most typical thing to eat. So then already there's what to talk about. Okay, we'll come back to that. The Kaimalan Kirev Yehuda. And how's the Rashba think we should paskin? So he says, against the Rambam, we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Why? Midika Amar Le Rav Le Rav Nachman Le Sifik Le Rav Yehuda. The Shmuel Rav Yehuda can tie in the Kavase. You know why paskin like Rav Yehuda, says the Rashba? Because Rav paskins like Rav Yehuda. Because Rav said to Rav Nachman, I have Shmuel who says ha'etz on Shem and Zayis. I have Rav Yehudan who says ha'etz on Shem and Zayis. And based on that, Rava the Amora had said, therefore we should say also Hadama on flour. So Rava is compelling. The Hadidacha Rav Nachman, turning the page, Hadidacha Rav Nachman, the Omar, the Shiny Kimcha, the Isli, Luyachrin of the past, I'll tell me, but Rav Nachman disagreed. Rav Nachman had a comeback. Yes, Rava tried to prove like Rav Yehuda, proof number one of the two proofs, but Rav Nachman pushed back. Well, dichuyahi. That's a dichuy. That's just a push. Okay. Rav Nachman gave a teretz. But in other words, Rav Nachman gave a teretz, but the kasha is better than the teretz, the Rashba is saying. Rava is very compelling. Rav Nachman's pushback. Okay, it could be there's a chiluk. Wow. 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 Upashta kribyuda. The pashta pshar is like kribyuda. Hilkach kaimalon kava say. Therefore, that's how we paskin. V'chein pasak harayvitzal. And the Rashba says, I find this a compelling approach. And several generations earlier, the Ravid, a contemporary of the Rambam, also said, we paskin like kribyuda. So what do we have? Yehuda, who says Bar Pri Adama, Rav Nachman, who says Shachal Yevidvaro, the Rambam paskins like Rav Nachman. Don't know why. The Rashba and the Ravid and the Rashba paskin like Yehuda. Why? Why? Because of Rava. Rava had a raya, and we find Rava's raya more compelling than Rav Nachman's push. Right? Rav Nachman gave up his achiluk, but the pashup sounds like Rava. Wow. By the way, you see the Rava just accuses the Rambam, but even though there's no hasagas haraiva on the side of the Rambam, which is yet another example of the Rava didn't write down every time he disagreed with the Rambam. That's the position of the Rashba. Okay? So that's interesting. Take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva has a couple of paragraphs on the sugya. Amud Resh Chaf Ches. The second paragraph begins, fittingly, Ula'in Hilchasa. Halacha L'maisa. How do we paskin? Kaim Alon Kerev Nachman. Woohoo! He passed in like Rav Nachman. So you can add the Ritva. He disagrees with his Rebbe, the Rashba. The Ritva's over here. He says, no, he passed in like Rav Nachman. Why do we pass on like Rav Nachman? The kaven de idchila he de Rava havalei Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nachman v'halacha k'Rav Nachman. He says because Rava's teretz was pushed away. Rava had a raya, but Rav Nachman pushed back.
So the Rashba had said it's dichuya b'alma. Yeah. The pushback against Rav Nachman, it's merely a dichuya.
Yeah, that's, you know, we don't find that. They gave a teretz, but the kasha is better than the teretz. And the Ritva says, no, I read the Gemara differently. That's very true. Rava made a comment, and Rav Nachman knocked it away.
It was a great dichuya. It wasn't that it was merely a teretz, but idchi Rava. Rava, as Ritva says, idchi Rava.
Rava was pushed away. It was a great teretz that Rav Nachman gave. That's interesting. You'll find when the Rishonim often handle about how to paskin, one of the issues is there was a shock of the Tarya. I can't say definitively who won. This one had a point, and that one had a pushback. So you have, sometimes it's a question of a Rishon's take on like, where does the weight of Svara lie. The Rashba did not find
Rav Nachman's comeback of Isli Eluya Karina so compelling. He said, Rav made a good point. And the Ritva says, no.
I think Rav was knocked out. Shemin's eyes is totally irrelevant. The Chiluk was great. The Rashba didn't like the Chiluk, didn't find the Chiluk so compelling. The Ritva found the Chiluk very compelling. And then the Ritva goes on to say, okay, so if the Chiluk is very compelling, so Rava tried to try to support Rav Yehuda and he's knocked away. So where does that leave me? If Rava is eliminated, so now who should we paskin like? Right now it's even. So now what? So what told me to paskin therefore like Rav Nachman? And so he goes on to say, well, the halacha k'Rav Nachman. So came the idchila he Rava. Since Rava is pushed away, havalei Yehuda Rav Nachman. So it's back to just being it's a machlokas Yehuda Rav Nachman, the halacha k'Rav Nachman, and we pass like Rav Nachman. The Ritva's Rebbe, the Ra'a,
explains more that this is klali hapsak. One of the klali hapsak is that the Gemara in Erevin and Daven Vav and elsewhere has rules about just like the most machlokas A and B. Who do we pass on like? We don't always have rules, but for some cases, the most famous one obviously is Beshan and Basil pass on Basil. There are plenty of other ones that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda pass on like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon pass on like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon pass on like Rabbi Yehuda Abai and Rava Yal Kagam. So Rava says, and this is probably what the Ritva means. That Yehuda Rav Nachman, Halach Rav Nachman. That's not just a statement here. That's a general rule. The quote from the Rashba, I didn't find it inside. That he's giving another point as well, which is also Kali Hapsak. Hilchasa Kibasra. That generally we paskin when you have a machlokas. Earlier Amoram and later Amoram, we tend to paskin like the later Amoram, on the assumption that they already knew what the early Amoram had said, and they were trying to figure out Halacha L'maaseh, so they took it all into account. So already we're seeing, what are we seeing? Machlokas Amoram, and Machlokas Yishalom how to paskin, and we're seeing a lot of interesting factors come into play. Factor number one, dimension number one, is the koach of the svaros. You find the Rashba did not find Rav Nachman's chiluk very compelling.
The chiluk ba'alma. Rava made a good point. Rav Nachman, the answer wasn't as good as the kasha.
While the Ritva says no, it was a very good chiluk. Rava is knocked away. And the second dimension is in terms of there are rules.
Rav X and Rav Y, who are we going to paskin like? So on the one hand, it's Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. If those two are from the same generation, we ought to paskin like Rav Nachman. On the other hand, you have Rava, who comes in two generations later. So he's a Basra. So we should take him seriously. That's right. And there's an interplay. If you see Rava still being a part of the discussion, as the Rajba does, so then it's not just Machlokas, Rav Yehuda or Nachman, it's Machlokas, Rav Yehuda and Rava against Rav Nachman. Rava is a Basra, so we held it's a Basra. Whereas the Raha and the Ritva, they say no. Idchi Rava, Rava's out of the picture. He had a good Kasha, we had a good Teretz. And as Ritva had said, we're back to just being classic Rav Yehuda of Nachman. So therefore, it's halachic Rav Nachman. Therefore, it's halachic Rav Nachman. Some of this will be even clearer if we take a step back to your Gemara. I know some guys, it looks like, did not have their Ritvas with them. And I understand maybe you don't have your Ritvas with you. But everyone has Rabbeinu Yonah. So let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. And just have a sense of the historical drama here. The Ritva was a Talmud of both the Rashba and the Ra'a. I didn't really maybe lay it out on the board with perfect historical precision. The Rashba and the Ra'a were contemporaries. They shared the same Rebbeim. The Rashba and the Ra'a were both Talmidim of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah. And they shared a very famous Talmud, the Ritva. So sometimes the Ritva will follow the Rashba, sometimes the Ritva will follow the Ra'a. So it's interesting, maybe we should realign this a little bit.
More colors.
I'm
sorry?
More colors. Colors. Okay. So now let's take a look at a generation earlier, Rabbeinu Yonah. So here we have that everyone has on the side. The Rif, the Ra'ah and Brachas, by the way, also is written not as a Sefer on Gemara, but as a Sefer on the Rif. Like Rabbeinu Yonah. Here we have page Chaf Hey Amar Alf. Unless you have a super fancy Gemara. Some of you have super fancy Gemaras. So you're on your own. If you're like me and you have a plain Jane classical Vilna Gemara, so your Chaf Hey Amar Alf Bedape Harif. Now the Rif himself, passing like Rav Nachman also, we'll get to him soon. And Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rif says he passing like Rav Nachman, and he gives a reason why. We'll get to his reason why soon. Rabbeinu Yonah attacks. You see here Rabbeinu Yonah, Dear Maschel v'Rav Nachman. See that? Chafei Eman Alv v'Rav Nachman. So he says, Ein ze nira lemori harav, neiru. This does not seem right to our Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. This Rabbeinu Yonah is written by his Talmidim. So they refer to him as in the third person. Neiru stands for Natre Rachmano Uparke. Yishmereu Hashem v'yatzilehu. Why? So two things that Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't like about the Rif. The second thing, which we'll get to, is he doesn't like the svara that the Rif gave. Okay. But the first thing he says, Yehuda. The Gemara sounds like Rav Yehuda. Really? Damrian Hasam, Amarle Rava, L'Rav Nachman. Lostafugaleh to Rav Yehuda. Don't argue with Rav Yehuda. Deshmur Rav Yechen Koi Kavasei. Okay. Rava attacked Rav Nachman. He said, look at Shem and Zayis. Svir lehu de Shem and Zayis mevarachan lov borei preetz. V'afagav de ishtani lo nishtani birchaso. The food changed, but the bracha doesn't change. Hachanami, afagav de ishtani lo nishtani birchaso. Even though the grain changed into flour, the bracha does not change. Rava supporting Rav Yehuda. Rav Archalav Borei Peri Ha'adama. V'cheven derava duhu basra sovrek Rav Yehuda. There you go.
Here Ben Yehuda is not only supporting the Rashba, the Talmud, or the Talmud is aligned with the Rebbe, but here he says beferish. It may not be whether or not it's a Rashba, but definitely Ben Yehuda. Hilchos like a basra.
He says Rava made a good point, and we should paskin like the Basra. Rava's a later generation. Is Machlok is Rav Nachman Rava. Rava wins. Kaven de Rava duhu Basra sovrekar of Yehuda. Hilchos akavasei. The Afal piece, so let's see what else Rav Yehuda is going to add one more piece to this conversation. Not only did he add to the second dimension, that there's a klali apsak. The Ritva said, Ritva us had klali apsak and paskin like Rav Nachman. Ben Yonah says, what do I mean? Kali Apsaki passing like the Basra, passing like Rava. Look at what else Ben Yonah adds. Yafa Pisha Rav Nachman Heshiv. Look, the sugi doesn't end with Rava. Rav Nachman responded, V'yamar midami hasam leke ilu yacharina hacheke ilu yacharina bepas. Rav Nachman had said, well, what type of rye is from Shemen Zayis? Shemen Zayis is the final product. Wheat flour is not the final product. Right? So we had said, well, you know, the Raj the Ritva seem to be arguing over whether the response is a mere dichui or it's a great response. And Rava is knocked out. So why does the Rajba think it's a... See, he explains a little more. Ben Yonah, very interesting. Kevin shlo haya docha osol mikoach mishnah velo mikoach breisa ele mikoach svara. Rav Nachman wasn't responding saying, no, I have a chiluk and I'll prove it from a Mishnah. I have a chiluk and I'll prove it from a Braisa. Stam, he said a Svara. Okay, I'll say a Svara l'chalik. Stam, he say a Svara. Ein lanu l'haniach Svaras Rava bavur Svaras Rav Nachman. Stam, Rav Nachman gave a Svara. Why should Rav Nachman's Svara be better than Rava's Svara? That's fascinating in terms of Derech HaLimud, in terms of not only appreciating Gemara and Rishonim, but also appreciating what we're supposed to be doing. Right? The Rabbeinu is saying, as when the Rajba just gave us a little bit, well, you know, I don't find Rav Nachman to be such a compelling pushback. Why? Rabbeinu explains. One of the things you're going to look at is you're suggesting a chiluk based on where does that come from? Stam and Misfaras Atzmacha. That's not the same as saying, I have a braisa that seems to indicate this is a relevant factor. I have a mishnah that indicates the relevant factor. Rav Nachman said, well, maybe there's a difference between final product and not final product. Okay, and maybe not. And maybe not. And maybe not. I still have very distinct memories. Many, many years ago, Chaim Ilson was around the Y Beis Medrash. I mean, he was around the Y Beis Medrash for years, I guess in the 70s maybe. He's one of the famous Talmidim of the Rav in the later years. Very, very, very brilliant mind. And a very, very strong personality. So I was talking with him about a sugya, and I said, well, Rishon raises kasha, maybe you give a teres like this. So he said to me, in his characteristic Bronx accent and powerful phrasing, you have a raya for your svara. If you don't have a raya, it's not. If you don't have a raya, I want to hear. Svara without a raya is not svara. So it was a strong way of putting it. But the truth is, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying something like that. Stami, you're suggesting a svara lachalik. That's nice. That's not nearly as compelling as a svara lachalik that's rooted in an early. You have a raya to that chila. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying.
And it says Rav Nachman's svara is not so compelling. It's just a svara. Okay, there is a difference between final product. I can imagine the difference between final product and not final product. But maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't. And why, if it's Rav Nachman's svara versus Rava's svara, so he says Rav Nachman's svara isn't more compelling. And why is Rava's svara win? Why not leave it as an open suffix? So why are we dafka paskin like Rava? Why is Rava's svara? We shouldn't let go of, we shouldn't abandon Rava's svara because of Rav Nachman's svara.
When I say the reverse, we shouldn't abandon Rav Nachman's svara because of Rava's svara. Why is Rava's svara better? Give me two reasons why Rava's svara is superior, based on what we've discussed so far. Number one, Rava's a basra. So if it's svara versus svara, Rava should win. Right? Ah, exactly. And based on what Rav Yonah said, it's actually internally better because Rava did have a makar. Rava said, look, I have an early Amaram or Torah Hashem and Zayis, and they say Shinui doesn't matter. So if you want to tell me it's irrelevant, you should bring a riot to your Sora. I have a riot from my Sora. Do you have a riot for your Sora? And also, even if they're equally stacked, and because Rav Nachman doesn't think that Shmuel, Rav Nachman doesn't think that Rava has a source, even if so, then we ought to paskin like the Basra. So far, what do we have? So far, what we have over the last 40 minutes or so. So far, what we have is that we have a machlokas amaran. We first put aside. We noticed and set aside for now. Tosfos that discussed what exactly is the case, what type of flower we're talking about. We dove into question number two, which is how do we pass it? Machlok is Amaran, Bar Priya Dama Shakam Yibidvar on Kemach Chitim, Kimcha Dechiti in Aramaic, how do we pass it? And we're seeing rich debate amongst Rishonim how to pass it. It is far from clear. So the Rambam just said, Rav Nachman, again, Kedarki didn't even say any names, he just gave me the din, shahakal, but if I know the Gemara, Rav Nachman didn't tell me why. But then I saw the next couple of generations of Rishonim, they're handling back and forth. And we noticed that, as I mentioned earlier, oftentimes you look at different Rishonim and they'll fill in pieces of something else. Sometimes a later Rishon fills in more than an early Rishon said, although actually, in this sugi we saw the reverse. The Rabbeinu Yonah, Rebbe the Rajba, added more color and more structure to what the Rashi was saying briefly. The Ra'ah, Rebbe the Ritva, added more to structure and more clauses to what the Ritva was saying more briefly. And we saw, now is the Halacha L'maisa Machlokes, whether we pass like Yehuda Tzibor Piyadama or like Rav Nachman and Shachal, we also saw that there are two dimensions to why you would pass in one way or the other. One is how you assess the relative strength of different stages of the Shakavataria. Rava had a riot to Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman pushed back, the Ritva embraces Rav Nachman's pushback, and the Rashba does not, and Ben Yonah sort of explains a little bit of why, because you see a svar without a chiluk, it's not as compelling as a chiluk with a makar. And then, in addition to the debate amongst Rishon about how to assess the Shakavitari and the koch, the relative koch of the different svaras, is also a kali apsak level. On the one hand, usually machlok is behuder of Nachman, pasnag of Nachman. On the other hand, if there's a basra, like Rava, who two generations later, if he's a part of the discussion, which Lachori is, so then he should be controlling. He should be the one who is decisive and dispositive in terms of halacha l'maisa. So that's already fascinating. Let's add, if there are questions specifically about this, not what if questions, we've got things, questions for clarification.
A little earlier on the Tosfos and Rashba.
Let's come back. We'll come back to Tosfos soon. Come back to Tosfos very. We're actually about to come back to Tosfos. By the riff, yeah.
If we're going to analyze Koch HaSvaros, shouldn't we first figure out what the Svar of Rishonim was?
Very good. So you're both making fantastic points. I couldn't have asked for better segues. You would think that I had slipped you each a 20 to make the points that you're making. Yaakov was reminding us that we have a hanging Tosfos in terms of what Kamach are we talking about. And so far, the cherry-picked parts of the Rishonim that we just learned together didn't. We sort of circled around that discussion. We're about to get back to it by looking at the riff, because I also told you that there's a riff here who says something mysterious. And then Avichai is pointing out that in debating whether or not you like the Svara, it ought to be, it's a good question, though, what exactly is the Svara. So far what we saw, in terms of the Svara, Rabbeinu Yonah had phrased it clearly. The Ra'ol also phrases it clearly. That it's really a question of do we say that Shinoi Ha'ochel leads to Shinoi Habracha or not? And the Ra'ah even adds a line. Do you say that although it changed, it's still, Halacha sees it as still the pre? And that's language that Rashi had already used. And the raw kernel, the whole kernel, I should say, that's the pre ha'adama. That's the item that grew from the ground. So if you're eating a whole kernel of wheat, you say, bore pre ha'adama. Now I ground it. Or I had the whole olive and now I squeezed it. Is it still the pre ha'et? Is it still the pre ha'adama? Or now it's something new? A new chal Hashem, a new label, a new category. So I can't call it the pre ha'et, so the pre ha'adama is. It's just going to be shahakal. Rashi had used that language. Is it still the pre or is it not the pre? The Ra'ah used that language, and it's implied by Rabbeinu Yonah as well. So that seems to be overall the overall question is: do I see this change to the item as being so fundamental? Now it's like a new thing. This is no longer the pre ha'et to pre ha'adam to say shahakal or not. No, it's processed, but still it's a processed version of the pre ha'et. It's a processed version of the pre adama. And again, Rav Nachman, correctly, Rav Nachman had differentiated, maybe they're not all shinuim are created the same. Okay, and his chiluk was, well, there's a later stage. So we'll come back to understand a little bit more of Rav Nachman's svara, and to come back to talking about tosis by two different types of wheat flour by looking at the riff. You have the riff in front of you. Take a look. Remember, the riff goes all the way back.
He's before any of these rishonim. He's the same. He goes takes it back to the 11th century, to the 1000s, so to speak.
Contemporary of Rashi. What did the riff say? Kimcha dechiti. Third wide line, right? The two dots. Kimcha dechiti. Wheat flour. Rav Yehuda Amar. Borei Pri Adama. Rav Nachman Amar. Shahakal. So far, so good. Okay, that's the first line of the sugya. And then, again, the riff was three generations before the Rambam. He's already doing a lot of the type of work that the Rambam would later do also, which is summarizing the Gemara, taking a lot of the Shakavataria, and often cutting to the chase. So, okay, this is a Machlokas Amaram. He does not give us a whole back and forth Shakavataria. He says, Umestabrik Rav Nachman. And it seems to me to make sense, the riff says, to Pasen like Rav Nachman. Why? Not because I like Rav Nachman's chiluk, I don't find Rava's kasha so compelling. Not because Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman like Rav Nachman, but rather the la regili inchi l'sapuye kimcha, because people don't normally eat flour, and therefore it should be what bracha shahakol, because it's a weird thing to eat. It's not a derech achila. It's a bizarre thing to eat. It's a bizarre thing to eat, so you should make a shahakal. The hachein pasker rabvasa, and so paskin the earlier rabbanim. The riff is the very beginning of the rishonim, so earlier rabbanim means the gaonim. If you look through various rishonim who quote, they mention this riff, you'll find the different gaonim are mentioned by name. The Bahag paskin this way, Rav Hai Gaon paskin this way. So the position of the riff. Agaonim is that we paskin like Rav Nachman, and why? Why do we paskin like Rav Nachman? Because it's not kederach. That's a weird thing to eat. Who eats flour? That's weird. That's not normal derech achila. Not normal derech achila, and therefore chaka. And what's your kasha?
Well, this is an argument
with Tosfos. Oh, okay, good. So one direction, one interesting thing about the riff is Tosfos.
Isn't there no bracha on the Eitan?
One second. Yeah, Ellie?
No, I was going to say something similar to Eitan. You could say that sort of like all the people that are saying like it's Rav Nachman might not hold like Tosfos, and they might be saying that we're talking about normal flour here. That's why it's shakel. But the people who say...
Okay, very good, very good, very good. So the number of Rishonim are going to make your point. Is there something even more fundamentally that bothers you about the... About the riff? Yeah?
I mean, it's so obvious that people don't eat it. Why didn't anyone else address it? I mean, it's so obvious that no one would ever eat flour. How could you even start to say that it's hatam?
Right, so that actually is exactly what Tosa said. As you saw, the Rashba explained Tosas, other Rishonim call it Tosas. Well, we're not talking about regular flour because that's a bizarre thing to eat. Of course it's Shava. We're talking about something that's somewhat normal to eat, like granola, or you know, it's somewhat ground, but it's not finely ground, or it's toasted. Yeah. You are correct that Tosfos and the Rif are disagreeing about Pirush HaGemara. The Rif clearly assumes that the Gemara is talking about regular flour, and Tosfos thought the Gemara is not talking about regular flour. Good. So that's not a kasha on the Rif. That's just an interesting point. The Rif is taking a stand on Pirush HaGemara differently than Tosfos, which probably means that both Tosfos and Rif are bothered by the same question, which is, why would anyone say Hadama if it's not a normal thing to eat? But what's a kasha on the Rif? I don't have a kasha on the Rif.
Isn't there no bracha on that Ardar
Field? That's something Ray dealt a little bit in the Sugi of Mazik. Things that are not normal to eat but are still somewhat edible are probably Shahapa, like the Novlos. For instance, there's a basic kasha on the Rif. You guys are asking fancy kashas with Bekias. Minei Obey. Why did no other Rishon say that we should paskin like Rav Nachman because it's not Derech Achila? Because?
Neither is oil.
Okay. Although in Achaname, in a case it's not Derech Achila, we talk a don't make kites, right? The Gemara, you're right, the previous Gemara had spent a lot of time. The previous Gemara, let me rephrase Yehuda's point this way. The previous Gemara has spent a lot of time explicitly discussing, is it normal or abnormal to have Shemen Zayis in this way? Is it healthy or unhealthy to have Shemen Zayis in this way? Like this, like that, like that, like this. We were looking for a case, and we were explicit about that factor. How about the Gemara of Kimcha Dechiti? What did the Gemara say about Shuloka Derech Achila? How much did the Gemara talk about it?
None.
So you look back at Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, remember I told you he has two kashas in the Rif. The first kashas in the Rif, he says, I don't like the fact that he passed the Nakav of Nachman. Number one, I think we should pass the Nakav of Yehuda. Because after all, you have Rava. Okay, that was the first kasha. Then he says, let's pick up where we left off. The Ode. Rav Nachman gufeilo amr shahakal mitam she'en derech b'nei adam la'achlo. Even Rav Nachman, you're passing Rav Nachman because something Rav Nachman himself didn't say. Is the Rif an Amora? Is he arguing with the Gemara? I understand. Rav Yehuda said you make a Hadama because the fact that it's ground doesn't matter. Rav Nachman said, no, you make a Shahako because since you ground it, it's a Shinoi, it loses the Bari, it's no longer Puri Hadama. Did Rav Nachman said you make a Shahako because it's Shlok Kederach? He didn't say that. Rav Nachman himself didn't say that you make a shahakal because ain't derech b'nei adam la'achlo. And then he pushes it further. And let's go back to the point Yehuda made to think about Shemen Zayis. Ve'im k'divrehem sheposkim l'kula mizeh hatam. If they are correct, their words, they mean the Rif and the Gaonim whom he quotes, that they paskin l'kula, interesting, shahakal is l'kula, apparently. They paskin like Rav Nachman, they paskin shahakal for this reason, shalo kederech, hai ho Rav Nachman lomar. What should the Gemara have said? When Rava says to Rav Nachman, hey, I have a raya, that's flour is hadama. Why? Because Shemen Zayis is ha'eitz. Rav Nachman needs to give an answer. Rav Nachman needs to distinguish. What should he have said? Shemen Zayis is normal. The only time you make a eitz is when it's normal. But to eat flour is abnormal. Hayalo, l'Rav Nachman lomar midami. Hasam derechu lechol Hashem adayan nigron. There it's normal. The only case is a nigron. That's a normal way to consume oil. Kidichsiv li'el. Kidichsiv, also an interesting word. As we had earlier. Aval kimcha ein darach b'dadnu l'alchol. According to the Rif, Rav Nachman should have said, it should have been in the Gemara. How could you put words in Rav Nachman's mouth? Rav Yonah asks the Rif, and you see other Rishonim also, some other Rishonim, also attack the Rif on these grounds. It's a nice svara, but the Gemara didn't say it. And it would have been great for the Gemara. Particularly coming off of the previous point that Rav Yonah made, that Rav Nachman came up with a svara without any mucker. So well, I don't find that Rav Yonah just said, Rav Nachman's chiluk wasn't so compelling. He should have said this. Why did he say, what do you mean? And lo karo zel zeh. Oil and anigrin is normal. Eating a spoonful of wheat flour, that's bizarre. Of course it's shahakal. Rav Nachman didn't say that. Rav Nachman didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Ooh. Apparently, because he doesn't think so. Kevin Shrav Nachman atzmo lo amar mizeh ha-ta'am. If Rav Nachman himself didn't give this reason, heyach yecholim heim, Livsok kimoso, how can they, Rif and Gaonim, possibly like him, like Rav Nachman, mitam shahu lo hiski rosoko? How could you support, how could the Gaonim and Rishonim, possibly like an Amora, using logic that the Amora himself doesn't subscribe to? It's a nice svara, but it's not what the Gemara said. Was the Rif is arguing with the Gemara? The Gemara seems to very clearly be avoiding talking about Shloka Derech. In other words, the Rabbi Yonah was pointing out, not just the Gemara never gave this svara, Rav Nachman needed to say something. And if he believed that this is Shloka Derech HaChilam, that's why it's Shahakal, he should have said it right at that point. Instead, he gave some other chiluk. So clearly, that's not what's going on. So clearly, in other words, what we seem to have... The Rif says, I pass like Rav Nachman, but not based on Rav Nachman, based on Shalom Kederach. Not Kederach Achilu. So, the Rabbeinu Yonah, some of the other Shomer Rebbe bothered. What do you mean? The Gemara didn't say that. And as you fellows pointed out correctly, Tosfos is also bothered by the Rif's problem, but had a different solution. The Rif is bothered, of course it's Shaka, Shalom Kederach Achilu. So Tosus said, that must not be what the Gemara is talking about. In a Chanami, normal flour is shahakal, but not that that's what the Gemara is talking about. That was the Tosus solution. It's true, normal flour is shahakal. The Gemara isn't even talking about that. The Gemara is talking about granola. The Gemara is talking about a coarse grind. Things that are sort of edible, and that's when they had a discussion about it. It's a shinui. Does the shinui take away the bracha? Should not take away the bracha. But Tosos again. Now we appreciate that Tosos with which we began. Remember, I told you that we'll come back by the end of the year, and we'll appreciate the Tosos didn't come from nowhere. Tosos actually is talking about everything. That little teeny tiny Tosos who didn't really explain what he was talking about. Is raising all the issues, or at least alluding to all the issues. He's alluding to, he knew the Rif. He's responding, he's speaking, he's relating to the two potential ways of understanding the Svara of Rav Nachman, and by extension, alluding to the debate about how you paskin halacha l'maisa. It's all in that Tosfos. We didn't appreciate it first because we hadn't seen all the handle that the Rishonim have. Now that you see all the handle the Rishonim have, that Tosfos is unbelievable. It's hard to understand because he leaves out most of what he's saying. He just gives you like a tip of the iceberg. Most of it is below the surface. You see like one little, but now you look back at Tosfos. He has the Tosfos now. It's a schmuck. He's Rav Nachman, the Rif passing like Rav Nachman because of the concern of Shloka Derech Achil. Tosfos says, and we take all that off the table. We're not talking about typical flour, which is Shloka Derech Achila. We're talking about unique flours that are Derech Achila, and that's what our Gemara is saying. And that's why Rav and Rav Nachman never discussed Derech Achila Shloka. That's why Rav brought in Shemen and Rav Nachman didn't reject it because Shloka Derech Achila, because that's why that case. Whereas, a total rejection of the Rif. Very, very, very deftly. Now, at this point, you would say, okay, it seems like we should know how we paskin. Right? It seems like we should know how we paskin. Maybe not. The Rebbe Yonah goes on to say, we agree with the rift, but lav mikame. I think you had said that. In other words, Rebbe Yonah says, of course, regular flour is shahako. Not that the rift passing like Rav Nachman, but that's not what they're discussing. They're only discussing, Rabbi Yonah says, I agree with the Rav Halacha Lamaisa that specialty flour is Hadama because I passed like Rav Yehuda, and regular flour is Shahako because it's not what Gemara is talking about, that Shulo Kederach. He says, ironically, we might disagree about a lot of things, but end up saying Halacha Lamaisa the same thing. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, that's not what they say. Look in the Shulchan Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they say flour is always a shahako. And you remember you had pointed out, the Rambam also said flour is always a shahako. He didn't differentiate. The Torah and Shulchan Aruch are more explicit. It's always a shahako. That's because the Torah's father, the Rush, after he lines up all, he quotes Ben Yonah without quoting by name, but he says, but I'm not really sure. Did the riff mean just regular flour, or doing just that type of flour, the Rosh says, or maybe I should throw out the Tosfos Chiluk, and we're arguing about everything. And the Rosh says, it's one big suffix, and therefore we always make a shahaka. That's the bottom line of the Rosh. That's the bottom line of Shulchan Aruch. What that leaves me with is, one second, so how can you understand the riff? The riff seems to be throwing a monkey wrench here. Shalom Kederach Achila. Tosis is bothered by the Shalom Kederach Achila. So let's end with the following closure. Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say, okay, one way of dealing with the sugya is what we've been talking about up until now. That the riff is raising the question that Shalom Kederach Achila, and that doesn't fit neatly into the Gemara, and that's what Tosis is responding to. He says, Before I thought that someone in this room was very close to saying the following. He says, maybe the riff, aligned with the Rambam Rush, maybe the riff fits very neatly with the whole Gemara. And what was riff thinking? Lamaisa, he's saying something about the Gemara that the Gemara doesn't seem to say. Right? The Gemara is talking about Shinoi. Does the change of a food change the bracha? The riff seems like it's talking about something else. Right? Everyone here has been talking about the question of all the other Rishonim, they talk about the question of Shinui Hamacha, which is, again, what the Gemara talks about. Ishtani, the changing process of the food, does it change the bracha? Is it still the pre or is it not the pre? And then the Rif seems to be dealing with a different Svara. Shalom Kederach Achila. What was the riff? What was the riff thinking? They were brilliant Tamei Chachamim. How did they read the Gemara? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, with this we pull all together, and as I said when we started, at least have closure on this sugya for now. We'll be ready to expand to other sugyas next time. Rabbeinu Yonah says, maybe those aren't Tosfos is assuming these are two different things and therefore reject the riff. And really our Gemara is different shot in the Gemara to our specialty flowers. Right? And Rabbi Yonah says, well, we pass like riff, but not because of his reason. What was the riff himself thinking? So Rabbi Yonah at the end says, Efshir Latares. Belomar, he says, you know what the riff meant? Maybe the riff, and this would explain why halacha maisa we don't differentiate. He says, maybe the riff wasn't disagreeing with the Gemara. Maybe the riff was actually saying exactly what the Gemara was saying. He was giving his pirush on what the Gemara was saying. How so? But what does the Gemara say? Again, if you paskin, going back to the core, that the Rashba and the Ritva, the Ra'ah, they all pointed out that at the core of the question how you paskin goes back to the question of Shaka V'Tari. Rava had a riot to Rav Nachman and against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman pushed back. Rava said, look, by Shem and Zai, Shino of the Ochel doesn't change the Bracha. And Rav Nachman said, it's not the same thing. Now, Abichai wants to get back to what's going on. It's not the same thing. Ilu Yachrin Rapas, no Ilu Yachrin Rapas. What's at the heart of that? Do you like Rav Nachman's Chiluk? Do you not like Rav Nachman's Chiluk? So Ben Yonah says, that's what the Riff is talking about. He's talking about Rav Nachman's Chiluk. What do you mean? He says something about it's not normal. This is what the Riff means to say. Here we are like 10, 12 lines off the bottom. The line begins in the Rav Yonah with the word Latarets. After Litaret Veloma Dahagamar, maybe the Riff means to say the following. Ein Lidamo Samzu Lazu, don't compare them to another. Why? Dahasam Lesley Iluya Harina. By the oil, there's no further step up to come. It's already oil. That's the final stage. Hacha Isle Iluya Acharina Bepas. But here there is another stage yet to come of bread. And therefore, Yatsa Mikal Din Arishan Shokaveh Bracha Chashuva Yoser. Afilo Hachi calls Manshal Agila Oso Ha'ilui, but who Garua Achshav? You haven't yet gone to that final stage. Who cares? If anyone had asked us before, like, who really cares? Like, Rav Nachman made up a Svaro, there's no mucker. Like, what does any of this mean? Oh, because there's a later stage, therefore. You process the olives into olive oil. It's not olive fruit anymore. It's still ha'etz. See here too. You process the kernels into flour. It's processed, but it's still adama. Why does it matter? Just because there's another stage to come? Therefore what? So the Rashi may have a different pshat. Rashi talks about, well, what was your purpose? But the Riff would say, it's not just that it's not the final stage. It's not the why is it not the final stage? Why do people work so hard to make bread? There's so many steps to making bread. Why do human beings just grind it and eat it? Just eat it whole or grind it. Why do human beings invest so much energy in making bread? The answer is because bread tastes much better than anything else. It's not stam, oh, there happens to be another step. The point is, if you were stopped, there's a reason why this is not a step. You stop right now, it's horrible. And you can eat it if you really want to, but it's bad. It doesn't taste good. It's garua. Garua achshavadei ze hashinui. The first stage, right now you made a shinui, it was a shinui ligreusa. That's a line we're going to see in other sugyas to come. It was a negative shinui. Flour is worse than wheat kernels. Now, the Riff says, the Rav Yonah says, the Riff, that's the point. It was a shinu legreisa. Shinu legreisa, you lose the bracha. It was a shinu leiluya. If it was a step up shinu, so it's even better. Okay? But it was a step down shinu. Now, the Rebbeinu would say, that's the point. We're going to see later in the sugya of cooked vegetables. Lamed chesam beis, one of the big sugyas of shinu. The Gemara seems to say that. Some vegetables are better cooked, some vegetables are better raw. Something is better cooked, so when you cook it, it's hadama. If something is better raw, you took lettuce and cooked it. I don't want to think about that too much. But I'm pretty confident that cooked lettuce does not, even people who enjoy fresh salad, cooked lettuce is probably not a step up. So the Gemara says, oh, it's a shinu legreis. That's the way that we showed him there, read the Gemara. A shinu legreis, so you made shinu, it was a downward move, a net loss, then it loses its bracha. That's the Rav Yonah says, that's what the Riff is saying here. What's the point? There's another stage to come. Therefore what? So Rashi says on our sugya, another stage to come, so this is not what you had in mind. Rashi is teleological, for those who like that language. Rashi looks, thinking about, why did you plant this? It's not the original form, and it's not what you had in mind when you planted. We had in mind it was bread, so since it's an intermediate step, Rashi says, be'etzim, an intermediate step is going to drop, because it's neither the original, nor is it your kavana. But the Riff is saying it's not a question of what your kavana is, not a question of what the purpose of telos is. No, the Riff is saying what Rav Nachman is driving at is that it was a shinu legreusa. It was a net loss. Why would anyone do a shinui legrayasa? It's because it's one step, it's a yirida to channel our inner Rav Nachman aggressive, a yirida letzara chaliyah. You temporarily make wheat worse by grinding it so that ultimately you can get far better and get bread. But it's one step back to take two steps forward. But if you stop in the middle, ultimately it's going to be much better. It's going to be bread, which is better not only than flour. Bread is even better than wheat kernels. But right now at an intermediate stage, it's actually worse. If you stop right here and say, let me eat some flour, that was the shinui legrayasa. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, maybe the Rif wasn't arguing with the Gemara, which he's not entitled to do. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah earlier had been bothered, and other Rishon had bothered. How's the Rif disagree with the Gemara? Matter of fact, Tosa says, so much so we better reread the Gemara so that we avoid the Rif's problem. But Rabbeinu Yonah ultimately says, no, the Rif wasn't saying something different than the Gemara, he was saying pshat in the Gemara. He was rephrasing the Gemara. The Gemara said something poetic. Oh, there's a later stage, Iluya Achrinim Apas. What does that mean? So the Rif is giving pshat in prose in what that means. And so we close Rabbi Osai with the following. Now let's wrap it all together. Our Gemara is our first major opportunity to look at Ochel Shenishtana. That is what the Gemara is arguing about, as Rishonim pointed out, and I would argue, Rabbi Yonah argues, even the Rif believes that. The Gemara said, we're talking about Ochel Shenishtan. I have wheat kernels where Hadama, I ground them, did they lose their Hadama and become Shahako or not? Machlokes, Amoraim, whether yes or no, Machlokes Rishonim, Hadapaskin. We're going to see other sugyas also talk about that. And once we're going to want to look at other sugyas also, we have to figure out, level of hard, not all shinuyim are the same. What are the relevant factors? And the truth is, our Gemara itself, the Amoraim are dealing with that. Because that's exactly what Rava said. There's another sugya of shinuy, Shem and Zayas. And Rav Nachman is saying, no, it's not the same. There's a chiluk. And the Rishonim, as we started debating, is Rav Nachman's chiluk compelling, as the Ra on the Ritva said, and therefore he passed like Rav Nachman, or is Rav Nachman's chiluk not compelling? It's a mere dichuya bialma. And therefore, the Raivir Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba say we should paskin like Rav Yehuda, because it's basically the same as Shem and Zayis. Oh, in dealing with not the question of Psak Halacha, but a difficult Rif, who seemed to be throwing in a whole new issue that the Gemara didn't deal with, Rabbeinu Yonah says, that ultimately gives me more clarity at the heart of the sugya. Because the Rif and Rashi now are giving me two different understandings of what is the chiluk that Rav Nachman is introducing. Rava said, Ochel Shenishtana is Ochel Shenishtana. It doesn't matter if it's wheat flour. It doesn't matter if it's avo. Don't you see, when it changes, it still maintains the bracha. And Rav Nachman is the first one to say to us, one second, not all cases of shinui are created equal. There's some types of shinui will retain the bracha. All other types of shinui will degrade the bracha. What's sometimes and what's sometimes? What's the differentiating factor? So Rashi had said, the differentiating factor, Pshat Rav Nachman is this the original? Did you have this shinui in mind when you planted it? Is this the final goal? You planted olives to have oil, so that is the original pre. But you didn't plant wheat to have flour, you planted wheat to have bread. So if it's not the intended end result, so then it's called a shinui, it changes the bracha. That's where Rashi had said. Again, we could call it's a question of kavana, or if you like English Sprach, academic sprach, you can call it the teleological approach. Look at telos. What's the purpose? Whether a shinui changed the bracha or not has to do with what was their purpose, and it's based on the next gemara of Daitokah, where the notea al das this. Okay. But so that's one approach to the chiluk. Is the chiluk had to do with what was your kavana and planting it? Do you therefore lose the shame pre or not? But the Rif is saying, the way everybody says, the Rif here is actually giving pshat in our Gemara. He's not diverging from the Gemara. He's not giving an alternative universe. He's saying, this is what Rav Nachman meant. What did Rav Nachman mean that, oh, there's a next step? The point wasn't that this isn't what you had in mind. I don't really care if there's a next step or not. The point, the next step is just a raya or an explanation of why, right now, it was garua. The point of next step is, at an intermediate step, it probably is worse, and here indeed it is. There could be some foods where it gradually gets better and better and better, then you would make the Rif would say, Bori Priya Eitz Hadama, even on the middle step. But here, the point is not that it's not the final. Rashi thinks the point is not the final step. But for the Rif, the point of it not the final step is really to say what the Rif said, which is, it's Gara. Maybe it's not, it might not be totally not Kederach Achila, but it's certainly a drop. It's worse than kernels. If it's worse than kernels, the reason why we do this is because you ultimately want to get to bread. If you stop right now, it's the Stein of the Graeism. So that is Taka Mishan of the Bracha to Shahako. So we emerge from the Sugya. With a heightened appreciation. The Gemara itself is already saying we're going to have to deal with are different shinuim the same or different? Maybe some shinuim change the bracha, some shinuim don't change the bracha. Rishon already debating that. And we're seeing the machlokas Rashi and Rif about relevant svaras. One relevant svara is this that were you mishana to something that you had in mind? This is the goal. Mishana to the goal and mishana to a non-goal. The other svara on the table was this shinoi a net gain or net loss? Ishtani liluya, ishtani legreyasa. And both of those ideas are going to recur as we begin to look at all we had left off the other day. Well, how about Trima? Trima does retain the bracha. And how about Gargali the lifta? And how about all these other cases? So we're going to begin, as we put the pieces together, we're going to continue the work that Rav Nachman and Rava started. Of putting together the different cases of shinui and looking for what are the relevant differences. Are they the same? Are they not the same? What are the relevant differences? And we're already attuned to the fact that one relevant difference is telos, another relevant difference is lishavach versus legeira'on.